outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gene. The God Gene. The God Gene.
Well, I thought the best way to start this podcast would be reading your read.
Take two.
Take three. Stop laughing. Well, I thought the best way to start this podcast would be to read your Father's Day card to me, because you always say sweet things to me in cards.
No.
But it's personal.
Yeah. Intimate. Yes. Not for everybody else who's not sitting in this room to hear.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
I'm Julie Williams.
And Julie's in the house again for our monthly discussion about parenting and
whatever else.
Whatever else we talk about. I just had lunch with somebody and a couple things that were said. One thing he said at the end, we're talking about relationships and all that stuff and kids. And one of the things he said was, my wife has this philosophy. She says, all earthly relationships end in tears.
Oh.
Because we were talking about a guy whose wife just passed away recently. And I just went, oh my gosh, that's true.
Yeah.
They all end in tears, whether it's, divorce kind of painful tears or dying kind of hurting tears and missing tears. And I guess the only way to avoid that is to die first. Right?
Okay.
Other than that, all earthly relationships end in tears.
Never heard that before.
I haven't either. But man, when you start thinking about it, it could be painful tears, tears of hurt and brutality, or even relationships just break apart in this world. A lot of them do. We don't seem to be able to sustain relationships long.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just marriage relationships, friendships and all other kinds of things, family kinds of issues. So that's kind of sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. And also was with somebody, daughter's been through a tough time and had struggled with alcohol, struggled with some real suicidal kinds of stuff. And gosh, I just a note that was written to her dad on Father's Day. And one thing she said I thought was just really sweet. She said, I'm okay because you didn't give up on me.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So easy to give up, man. It's so easy to.
Yeah.
Particularly as kids get older, adult years, kind of like, I've done my part. Now I just kind of, and you just give up being in their life, being loving them, caring about them. Cheering them,
right?
You know, on even when they're doing things that are destructive and hurtful. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. I enjoyed that conversation and enjoyed what God's doing. So now I get to talk to you.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
And before we begin, I've got a greeting for you.
Oh no.
Yeah, Jeff Andreessen. We taped a podcast. I don't know if it'll play before or after this one. I haven't worked that out yet. But
oh yeah.
He was here yesterday. We taped a podcast, but he said he wanted to say something about you, and then we forgot during the podcast, so he didn't say it. So at the end, he said, "Oh, I didn't get that in." I said, "We could do it now." So we did.
Oh,
and this is what he left for you.
Okay.
I've really enjoyed listening to Julie, and she's amazing. She is so good at this. I could learn a lot by listening to her.
I tell Sarah, we get to talk about things we otherwise wouldn't talk about, but we're singing a podcast talking about parenting and what could be more fun.
I've had this vision since listening to these podcasts of picking up my little girl when she was 4 or 3 years old, a little yellow dress, and she's in the dirt crying. She's in her worst moment. And I pick her up, and instead of giving her the spanking for being in her worst moment, I went through the wooden spoon stage like you, or coming in with the parenting moment, I would have just picked her up and I would have looked at her and maybe rubbed some of her tears away and said, do you know how much I love you? Do you know how much daddy is for you? And left it at that with just a big hug. And I've had, and I'm listening to this, but these visions just keep coming. And I'm like, why would the Lord say that to me now? My girl's 30 years old. And she's a flight attendant now at American Airlines. We get to fly together occasionally. And I love it. And I'm realizing that I could still do that today with her. I could still look at her. And instead of coming in with the parenting moment, come in with the, do you know how much I love you? And not only that, but even more than that, I think that that's what Father was saying to me. What, through that vision is, when you're in that moment, in those moments, do you know how much I love you? You know, I think that's the thing that changes me. It's that love.
That's the thing that changes anybody. And that's, rather than those moments is, you know, there's a Calvin cartoon where he kind of he loses his tiger and, you know, Calvin Hobbes, and somebody else is upset at him. And he goes, his mom said, well, if you hadn't been doing something, then it wouldn't have happened. He looks at, there is no problem so guilt. There's no problem so bad that guilt can't make it worse.
Yes.
And there's nothing so bad that love won't make it better. Pouring love into someone's life and heart, and affirming who they are.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're enjoying them. I'm enjoying being with her. So
you need to put them together so people can go on the website and find them in order, especially recommended parents or new parents that are raising kids to listen to those.
Well, they can go to the archive at The God Journey and find Julie Williams on there, and they can listen to them in order. They can listen to everything. But eventually, I think as a parenting resource at lifestream.org, we may cross-list them there as well.
Thank you, Julie. They're wonderful.
Thank you. She'll be here tomorrow. We're going to talk some more with her. So that'd be great. Love it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
That is so nice. Thanks, Jeff.
He was really touched. He's really been touched by the podcast and keeps telling me, you guys got to put them together. You got to do all that stuff.
But, well, I love that he took it too out of just if you have little kids right now or kids that are 30. Like these things do kind of apply all the way. Just love your kids. Love them hard.
Do you know how much I love you and how much I'm for you?
Sometimes. No.
Wow, snarky. Getting a little snark today. That's good stuff. We come on the chapter for grace. For those of you just joining us, we've been, Julie and I, kind of working through a book. And not because we're recommending the book so much, just it gave us some topics to kind of talk through together. It's Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Will Radically Change Your Family, by Paul David Tripp. It gets a little religious-y in some places, so we're not saying, hey, go get this book, best book ever on parenting, because we think loving our kids on purpose is the best book we've read on parenting. Still your favorite book?
It is still my favorite. I actually just reread it recently.
Hilarious.
It's equal parts funny, but it's good. It's an easy, quick read, and it's like, duh, it makes sense. Like, I love it.
And I love in so many ways. He doesn't tell you what to do. He gives you a framework to kind of think about it with God.
Yes.
And so you've got to come up with solutions, but it's good stuff.
Just great ideas of ways to think through things. And it totally changed, my parenting when I got my hands on that book years ago. So
yeah, so we've been doing this about 4 or 5 months and we're on chapter 2. So
we're moving right along.
We get distracted now and then, like Brad and I do. Maybe I'm the problem.
That's the common. Wow. It's not me.
I am the common denominator of my own problems.
There you go.
I always have been. And that's just sad to me. Second chapter is titled Grace, though. And I find the title, just to start out with, the title is grace. But then the principle is God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need to do it. He never sends you without going with you, which that's kind of nice to say, but that wouldn't be necessarily my definition of grace. Would it be yours?
No. Not, yeah.
Because I think part of it, it's kind of a backhanded, I don't know that he means it this way. I just say, as you read that, so God never calls you to a task, didn't give you everything you need to do it. Well, so if you get in the middle of a task you can't do, or you get lost in it, or you just wear out or whatever, then it's your fault because God gave you everything you needed to do and you didn't follow through. And I'm not sure that's my understanding of grace. So we'll kind of maybe talk through that as we talk through some of what he says about it. Because I think grace is, I mean, people define it as God's unmerited favor, and it's, you know, some people confuse it with love, which I think love and grace are intimately connected, not quite the same thing. I think grace from God's standpoint is not just, hey, no big deal, I can overlook everything and it doesn't matter what you do anymore. I think grace is the portal. It's the door that God gives us into a relationship with him.
Right.
It's saying, gosh, your past and your mistakes and the things you're broken about today, those don't impede you from the relationship. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to know you're loved. I'm on your side. I'm with you. And grace allows us to experience that at our most broken, so that the love that we just, what Jeff and I got done talking about in that little clip, love can be the transforming reality in our life.
Right.
And that, to me, grace makes love possible from our side. It was always possible from God's side. God's never had an issue with all that. He's always loved us. We got lost in it. But grace, both from, and I think in this chapter, what he covered, and this is my favorite chapter so far of two.
Well, I've read the whole book, and this is one of my favorite chapters. So,
okay, so you did it to me again, man. You've already read the whole book.
I did.
I don't read before I have to because I've just got too much to read. So I'll read three when we're going to
But I'm in the middle of parenting. So, you know, once I picked it up, I kept hauling through it.
See what else you could find in there. Yeah, that would be helpful. By the way, before we get too deep in this, you're running off on Friday.
I am.
Your family's going international.
We are.
Going on a mission trip?
Not this time. Lugging our kids overseas. So
the in-laws have invited you to Europe with them. So you do a little Italy.
Little Italy wandering.
Wow. Have fun.
Yeah.
That should be fun. You realize you're taking your grandkids away from me. You realize
I know.
That. Okay. But then I think Sarah's already arranged
there's
them
already,
to
yeah, there's a reunion a happening when we get back.
I thought we did camp grandpa and grandpa for this year, but no, I guess not.
Take two.
Not there. So what do you think about from this chapter about grace before you run off to Italy?
No, I mean, I really liked a lot of different pieces of this. I really think that as a parent in a world where there's so much pressure every day from every angle, that I think we just need more grace just to ourselves from God to get through those rough situations because they keep happening consistently. So I really enjoyed just hearing what he had to say about focusing on that.
Yeah, I love the double theme of this, giving yourself grace as a parent living in grace. Not if you get performance oriented and you're going to judge yourself by every action, every mistake and everything you do wrong, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And if you do that with your kids, you're going to kill them too.
Right.
So it's living in it and it's sharing it, helping your kids discover it, learn it.
Yep.
Yeah. I wish I'd done more of that with you. You wouldn't be so warped today if you'd had more. If you had more grace.
Hey, now.
Hey, I'm taking all the blame here. What more do you want me to do? I mean, just the whole shifting from performance based to relationship based, which grace allows us to do. Grace doesn't matter that you're screwing up because it matters. You know, the things we do that are hurtful to others are still hurtful to others. You can have grace, but. So it's not that we're not going to learn, not a learning curve here, but we're going to learn in grace rather than learn in shame or something else that we do to try and motivate people.
Right.
Because shame is just never, ever going to be helpful.
Right.
And yet in the generation I grew up in, shame was probably the number one tool. I remember hearing a lot, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, or shame on you.
Yes, the old finger flipping thing. Shame on you for doing this, and you're a bad person. And we use it in schools. We use it everywhere. Both the twin-sided thing of this. Shame is also you're a horrible person if you don't do that. But it's also the approval side of it, where if you have performed well, then you're worthy of love.
Yeah.
And both of those things really twist us up.
Right.
Yeah, in the So You Don't Want Church Anymore book, there's that story that people always refer to. Say one of their favorite chapters in the Sunday school classroom, they're putting stars up on the chart, and this one kid can't put any stars up because single mom doesn't have all the tools the other kids have. They have the opportunity. And yet the reality of the chapter is the person most screwed up by that is not the kid with no stars on the chart. It's the kid with all the stars.
All the stars, yeah.
Because that was me. I had the chart. Yeah, I had stars everywhere I could possibly get stars.
Yeah.
I don't know why I lived for that. It's really crazy. But back in the day, I lived for little tinfoil stars.
I remember that too. And I think that came as feeling pressure of a pastor's kid. Like, I have to have the stars because...
But we had stars? Where do we have stars?
We had, memory verses and know the books of the Bible. And I felt pressure to do all that. But that was different reasons, I think. But
not stars in our home, right? Do we have stars in our home?
Do we have stars in our home? I think we had, like, on our chores chart, we had stars.
Yeah, well, of course,
chores,
you have chores charts. Yeah. So you know why you're being beaten.
Yeah. Why you're being yelled at today.
Yes. You didn't do what exactly? Yes. Yeah. But yeah, but I didn't even know we had it in our Sunday school stuff. I was trying to keep an eye on that. I guess I should have taught more classes. Taught more classes or go back and punish people. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the stuff he says here. What do you have down?
So one of the things that I think caught my eye right away was he says, understanding God's grace will change you. And as it changes you, it will change the way you relate to and parent your children. It's kind of what we've already said. But I love that it's understanding God's grace, how much that's going just to change me. And how much, if that's changing me, how that's going to play off of my kids. And that his grace reaches me. He paints this picture at one point, and I remember it so clearly, is walking down the hallway and the shame that you feel, or the not the shame, or the upset that you feel that you just blew it, or, you know, you just yelled at your kids and you're walking away feeling defeated. And he says this whole paragraph, he lists all these different, I went, yep, yep, done that. Yep, done that. Yep, felt that way. And I remember.
Is that paragraph, you walk down the hallway mad because your children need correction again? You're mad at the moment. They need what every human being constantly needs, a parent's care. But if you walk down the hallway confessing your need for father's care, it is more likely that you will embrace the need of your children for the same care, and you'll be tender as you give it.
Yeah. But how many times as a parent have I walked away feeling defeated or feeling like I failed? And I'm hard on myself in those moments. And this was so – I love that. God's going to meet me there, and he's there every day walking me through every moment that is hard, that is a struggle with my kids, every difficult conversation, that he's right there with me. And that just, I think I knew that, but I think just reading it and hearing him talk about just that God wants that.
Is there a point in when you're feeling defeated or you're feeling some of the things you said that you, is there anything you do to intentionally reconnect with him and with grace and with, you know, settling your soul back in him?
Yeah, I think now years ago, that would have stuck with me the rest of the day. I would have felt like I failed my kids that day. Like I, for whatever reason it was, and maybe it's as simple as I forgot something XYZ, or I yelled at my kids, or I lost it, or whatever it was. But I feel like now, like telling a story on myself here, but man, I totally missed an awards ceremony for my kid last week. And
oh, really?
She was supposed to get an award, and we were there 10 minutes late because I thought it started at one time and it didn't. It started another time, and her name was like the first one, and we missed it. And then we sat through an entire hour-long thing, everybody else getting an award, and she'd missed hers. And I cried. I got in my car. Like, I felt defeated. I felt like a failure, like the worst mom. And she had to go to class, so we didn't get a moment to like talk about it. And I'm sorry. I mean, it was like she had to go and I had to go the other way. And that sat with me for 4 hours. And I think it was like halfway through that, in the middle of my, just am still in my head about it, that I felt God just say, it's okay. It's okay. And it made me just stop and like, hey, why am I so upset about this? And yes, it's okay to feel bad. But it did, like, I felt in that moment that God's in this with me. It's okay to make mistakes. I'm going to make them. I'm going to continually make them, but it's okay. And so sometimes it's me, like, that felt like was a more, I feel like I really heard God say, it's okay. We got this.
Yep.
But there's other moments where I feel like I'm so in my head about it that I feel like I have to stop and say, okay, what is going on? I need to, you know, get this straight with God, and I need to realize that this is okay and apologize to my kids if need be, and let's move on.
Yeah, and all the worse in that situation because you didn't have the opportunity afterwards
was,
to kind of explain it and reconnect. But did she do okay with it when you did get that chance?
Oh, she was incredibly gracious.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. And then her sister, we love Lindsay, but she can't keep a secret to save her life. And she goes, yeah, mom even cried. And I'm like, oh. And Lindsay, you cried. I'm like, yes, I cried. I was so upset. So yeah, she's like, just an award. It's no big deal. But yes, and she might not have been, like, it could have gone the other way. And I would have understood if she was mad.
Right.
So she was incredibly gracious.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes we are our own worst critic and we kind of pound ourselves all day. And I know I always feel like, I think one of the things we try to do as you got older, again, God gives kids to rookies, right? So you learn parenting on the fly. So what you do later in parenting is...
Yes. Wish you started that way, maybe.
Hopefully better. Oh, yeah. I was talking with Jeff yesterday saying, man, I would love to parent with what I know now. I don't want to start with kids right now.
Right.
But I would love to have these tools in my arsenal when you were 2 years old or 3 years old, because it would be so much more grace filled, not less training, not less trying to help your kids understand what's true. I remember one time when we were dealing with you or Andy, and this happened multiple times, so it wasn't just once, but where I would get really frustrated because you were supposed to do something or he was, and you guys get angry and storm off. And I not only wanted you to do what I wanted you to do as your parent, I wanted you to do it with the right attitude. And I was trying to adjust for that attitude. And it was a few minutes after that where I got out of the way just and realized, I think, you know, a little tweak of the Holy Spirit just kind of in your heart going, you don't always do with the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 35, 38, 40 years old, and I'm going, okay, why am I trying to get them to all, not just do what's right, but do it with the right attitude?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's because it's a performance thing, and I'll feel bad if you make me feel bad, so I want you to
act good and happy, yeah. And yeah.
And act is the operative word, right?
Right.
I'm getting you to act like, and this is the way we dealt with this, I think, in a previous podcast, where you get your kids to apologize to each other, and they're saying the right words, but there's no real exchange of heart. Yeah, it's just, okay, we put the Band-Aid on that.
Let's make mom and dad happy and move on.
And I think grace invites us to a different way. It's not just, I want to make this look good.
Yeah.
I want this to be real. Mm-hmm. And I want it to help my kids learn how to navigate their own less than stellar moments by letting them peek into mine, because mm-hmm. I have them too. And
right.
I'm much older. And so I don't know what it is about parenting young kids where you feel like you can make them do things that you don't even do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not very grace-filled,
no.
Obviously. And I think he begins with that. If you don't realize how much God overlooks in you to have the relationship he does with us, if you
right.
don't realize how much he doesn't see, you know, he sees it, but he's not counting it against you. That allows the relationship to happen. And over time, I know the books I've read on grace, oftentimes, particularly you get grace from a religious perspective, they talk about God's unmerited favor, and they talk about grace, and God just loves us the way we are. And then there's always the, but that doesn't mean you can do this and do that and do that and do that. And then they kind of negate grace by putting it right back in the performance thing again, instead of really embracing it on my own. It's not up to my performance. And then sharing that with my kids, where
yeah.
my affection isn't based on their performance or my approval of them as a life.
Right.
I might approve of things they do and disapprove of things they do that are not helpful, but that's different than tying it to the relationship and distancing ourselves. And I think we've talked about that before too.
Right.
So, yeah. And one of my all-time favorite quotes, it wasn't in this book, but this is it's a video I heard years ago about, it was an AIDS video for ministry in Africa. And I think this would hold really good in parents. It says, sometimes in an effort to remind people of the cross, we withhold grace until we are sure they understand their sin. But it is in the giving of our grace that we remind people that they need to go to Jesus to find their own. People understand their sin without our help. It's grace they need help understanding.
Yeah.
A lot of that putting shame on kids, and I'm going to make you feel bad. I'm going to make you feel so bad. You never want to feel this bad again, so you'll do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just kids already understand shame. I remember
right.
being a kid and doing something, even by accident, that you, gosh, I'll get in trouble for this if I get caught. And that shame is never helpful.
Mm-mm.
It always drives you away. Like my dad had 80 acres of vines, man. So I just go for a long walk. So I remember one thing. It was funny. My parents had one of those old Instamatic Brownie cameras, which you've never seen. The old little, they do little film things you send off to be developed. You get 2.5 minutes of film back. This is pre-digital age by a long shot. And I found it in a drawer and I was playing with it and I was flipping the buttons and all of a sudden the thing goes, it's on.
It's recording.
I'm like, oh my gosh. And the switch was on the front of the camera. So I whipped it around. I'm going, how do I turn it off? It's kind of a little thing you slide and it locks in place. You have to push it back and then slide it. It took me 30, 40 seconds, which seemed like 3 or 4 years trying to move that thing back. And I got it back in place and I stuck it in the drawer and I went and I hid in the back of my dad's pickup. I must've been like 4 or 5 years old or six. I was young. In the back of the pickup. I'm there about an hour going, man, I don't want to get caught. And I'm thinking, nobody knows. Nobody knows. I'm the only one that knows. So I got out. It was fine. Went on with my life. Everything's good. And then...
except you videoed yourself.
Yeah, except when we got that film back. Like, and my folks would, you know, like send one of these things in about every 6-8 months. So it
yes.
was months later. All of a sudden, there's this... And it's always a big deal. We got this developed film back in the mail. So we all go in and we set up the projector. And yeah, we're all watching it. And all of a sudden, there's this ceiling, floor, wall, floor, ceiling, floor. And Dad goes, who's playing with the camera? And I'm like, not me, nobody. No. And all of a sudden, there I am.
There's your face.
My panic face looking at the camera. And I'm like, okay, man, dead to rights.
Guess it was me.
All that shame from the moment it happened. And the family thought it was funny. I didn't get in trouble.
Yes.
One, it was so long ago.
Right.
But all the shame I felt when it happened was right there.
Yeah.
Because now I'd lied about it.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me. How to do it.
Son of a gun.
There's my face.
Gee, I'll never forget that face. That because I was just total panic trying to find the button.
Funny. Yeah.
And then life size, not greater than life size, screen size.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's my whole face. Yeah. Shame's a paralyzing thing. And
it is.
We seem to know it, not necessarily because people put it on us. I think our society's gone to the thing where, you know, you're shamed because people put that on you. I think shame's just endemic to the race. We feel it even, no one teaches us that.
Yep.
People can make it worse.
Right.
Or they can unpack it for us. But it's really not coming from them. It's really coming from I don't think it's coming from God. I think it's coming from the brokenness of humanity and the sense of unworthiness and I'm not enough. And I think it comes from all that stuff. So
yeah, definitely.
This is on page 40. God's grace rescues you from you. When you are frustrated, mad, discouraged, unkind, abusive, bitter, joyless, vengeful, or irritated as a parent. That's quite a list. I recognize
I felt
there.
Those, yeah.
You don't so much need to be rescued from your children, you need to be rescued from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great statement.
Yeah.
That's what grace does. Grace just allows me to reset. I know I asked you earlier what you do to reconnect with that. I know in my own heart and life, it's usually for me a walk with God. I just go for a walk and I just talk it out with him. I talk about how I feel. I just let him know that. I listen for those moments of it's okay or I've got this or why don't you go apologize to that person and that may help some of what you're going through right now. But to know that as far as he's concerned, I've not marred the relationship with those things.
Mm-hmm.
And religion always taught me I did.
Right.
If I didn't have the right attitude, then God couldn't be at work in my life. So I'm left to myself to go somewhere and deal with my attitude. And then if I can make it acceptable, God will be there instead of taking that attitude right to him and just dumping it in his lap. This is how I feel. And this is what I'm going through. And I think that's the times when, like you were talking earlier about having that time of confession, if you want to call it that, but just expressing to God what's going on in my heart, that allows us to hear what he wants to speak into that moment.
Right. And doing this not only with our kids, but just the people in our lives, you know, there's so many moments where I messed up this, or I feel like I messed up that, or I'm frustrated with somebody for this. And it's that same thing of taking that time to give it to God and to try to just, okay, let it go and give them some grace in the situation that maybe you're frustrated with, but it, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, until if we're being given grace, it's pretty easy to give away.
Right. If you're feeling that, it's easier for that to come across to your kids or people in your life, but you have to feel that first and know what it is.
But if someone holds on to an offense, I mean, I've done that to people for sure. I've got people who do that to me and hold it like years of angered about something. And sometimes it's not even a real slight. It's just a perceived slight.
Right.
But there's anger. And then the relationship is dead in the water.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix that. I mean, you can apologize.
Right.
And if forgiveness is given, then the relationship can be renewed. If it's not given,
I think it has to be on both ends. Like one person can't just be the one. Right. Like, I mean, if you can't repair their friendship by one side, like both sides have to kind of come to this.
Yeah, you can't repair it. You can do your part to say, listen, I'm sorry. Anytime you want to talk, clear this up, I'm happy to do it. Someone said to me the other day, we're on a walk that someone visiting and we just talked about some of the broken relationships in our lives. And she, I remember she just looking at us saying, you know what? Life is too short to carry offense at people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that thought. It's just too short. I mean, why would you want to be offended? Particularly, I think the more we care about someone, the more we get offended if they slight us in some way.
Yeah.
And so now we're sabotaging a relationship we desire, which is just really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
If you desire the relationship, then, man, clear up the offenses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clear up your own if you have them. And as Jesus said, hey, if you know someone's offended, go to them. See if you can work it out. But if they're not willing to work it out, then, yeah, you are kind of.
But at least on your end, like you, I feel like that's easy. When I've been in situations like that, I feel more at peace about it. Even if it's not repaired, you know, I've done what I can do and I know that I'm okay. Yeah. So it's kind of in their court now and I can just, you know, rely on God to kind of help fix this or I feel okay. I can move on. I'm not going to hold this.
Yeah. And I love that freedom too because I really feel like at times I've even had relationships I've really frustrated over because I'd really like to fix this. I'd really like to get back into that friendship, but it's just closed from their side.
Yeah.
And I've really just even heard God whisper, you've done all you can
do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm generally the kind of person that would kind of like,
you gotta keep fixing it.
Well, almost become harassing in your desire to fix something somebody else doesn't want fixed.
Right.
And then you're not doing yourself or them any favors.
Yeah. But
I love just, and then every few months, when I cross that relationship again and realize it's still broken, I'll just say, is there anything you've got for me here? Because if there's something I can do, I'm willing to do it, but I'm not going to just keep beating my head against the wall.
Yeah.
If there's not a reciprocation on the other side, because you can't fix a relationship alone. Yeah. And then this one, 43, yes, you will make mistakes. Yes, you will learn and grow as a parent. Yes, you will understand parenting more with your last child than you did your first child. Yes, you will look back and be embarrassed by things you said and things you did. Yes, you will do some of the things your parents did that you swore you'd never do. You haven't ever done that, have you?
Never.
Oh, good. Yes, as your children grow up, they will remind you of some of the painful things you did in the early years. Well, that sounds like a great podcast.
Right?
Let's do that. Yes, you will wish that you had known more sooner. If you're at all humble as a parent, you will look back with some regret.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Do you?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
I mean, and I think that's okay. I think it's, for me, I look back and not with as so much regret, like I'm not going to live in that space of feeling bad that I did things that way I did, but I've come a long way. I've grown a lot as a parent and I'm happy with that.
Depends how deeply we mean regret.
Yeah.
One of the things said in 38, which I highlighted this, I have to confess that I started out my parenting days as a self-assured, self-righteous parent. I love that honesty because I think we all did.
Session time right there.
I mean, finally, you've got this little protoplasmic blob in your hands that, you know, a few days older or a week older or whatever.
Yeah.
You've got this thing and you do know that you know more than that child.
Yes.
I finally, someone I can boss around. And you all begin with that self-assured, which leads to that, you know, we all look back with some regret. If we mean regret as I look back wishing I'd done things differently, I think that's awesome.
Yep.
I don't look back on your, and I can sit here and own mistakes we made with you and Andy growing up. And I can say, yeah, I wish I'd been better at that. I wish I'd done that differently. But I don't have a lot of regret, this deep regret of like, I was a horrible parent or I did things really badly or whatever. I realized, man, parenting is a growth curve.
Yeah.
And it's probably during parenting that we really grow up ourselves. It's probably not us raising kids. It's probably kids raising us.
Absolutely.
I've watched how much parenting has changed you.
Yeah.
And I know how much it's changed me and what a different person you're becoming because you have these little kids and now older kids. And you're learning how to be in their lives in a way that's redemptive and purposeful.
Right.
Not just trying to, you know, push them around.
Yeah.
Mom had a sweatshirt back in the day, Sarah did, that was, you know, because I'm the mom, that's why. And we thought that was a funny t-shirt. That'd be great.
Yep.
That's one of Sarah's regrets. Every time that t-shirt comes up in some way, or we see something on TV like
it. We talked about it on one of our podcasts recently and she was like, oh gosh.
Yeah. She just hates it.
Yeah.
It was just the attitude, which back in our early conservative religious days, that's the way everybody thought. We're trained to think that way. And then find the freedom going, no, it's not that. We're growing up. They're growing up. Yeah, we hopefully are down the road a little further so we can give guidance and help to them doing things for their good.
Right.
Not getting them to do things for our good, which is where parenting seems to go off the rails sometimes.
Absolutely. It
becomes more about us than it does about them.
It does.
And that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Very. So much better when it's for them. And I don't know. I've just seen such a change, I think, in my kids since I don't remember how old Amy was, I think, when my parenting really had this shift. But I look at where she must have been probably Austin's age now. And I just look at the different way that those two, I mean, they're different kids and they react differently, but there's a different way that Austin will own things and talk about things that Amy didn't. And so I wonder how much of that is just the different way that I parented him. Cause you know, they're 6 years apart, those two. So this is pretty
big.
By the time I got Austin, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this one right. No, but, I definitely, there is a different way that he is. And it's interesting to look at how, and I think that's because that's the change I've made in my own parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that you say the way he is, which is what many people say, the proverbs about raise a kid according to raise a kid in the way they should go when they get old enough, yes, apart from it. Really, in the literal Hebrew, would be raise a kid according to who they are.
Hmm.
And it really is a different thing than,
yeah.
I was talking about this with a guy I had lunch with today. We tend to take religious training or Bible training, Christian training, whatever. We take a series of principles, concepts, truths, and impose them on the life.
Mm-hmm.
How do we? And that's a lousy way to grow. People don't really grow from that. We think we do because we take notes from sermons and we put them in our journals and then we ignore them and
don't
go.
Don't look at them again.
Just forget by Tuesday what it is that we were taught. I don't think we really learn that way. I'm going to learn a principle and I'm going to impose it on my life. I think we learn by discovering who we are, who God's made us to be,
mm-hmm,
how it is that I live according to the way He is. That's a big part of it. And according to the way we are.
Yeah.
A thing I've been playing with a lot in a sentence that I really love is just it coming from Jesus saying, I just showed you what was real and you believed me, which is, I think, such a great summary of where this Christian life is really meant to lead us. We think believing in Christ means, well, I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he's coming again. It's all creedal, confessional. It's all theological.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Peter did when he said, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that's a pretty big statement. And then two paragraphs later, he's already saying, God forbid it, Lord, because Jesus says, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm delivered up to the elders of the city. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be. And he's like, no, you're not. And so from you're the Christ, the Son of the living God to no, you're not is, I think, the great disparity of faith. It's one thing to believe who Jesus is. It's another thing to believe him when he speaks about what's real in your life and what's not real.
Right.
And if you dare to believe what's real and not reality as I see it, but reality as he sees it, to me, that's where believing in God really holds weight.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes transformative. Mm. And that I hope that's what our kids learn as well.
Yeah.
That, man, it's the God. It's the way God sees the world. I don't just mean principled things to follow. I mean discovering that inside a relationship with Him,
right?
Where you're exploring Him, He's exploring you, and
yeah,
you're connecting with that in a real way. And what I love about grace is it allows all that to happen.
Right, it does,
because it says your performance is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You have right attitude isn't the issue. The issue is, can you keep coming to me? And let love win you into the space that sets you free and the way I want you to be.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else, girl?
I'm good.
Getting back to his definition of grace, which is God's equipped you, he kind of ends the summary statement. The one who called you to this very important job is with you because he is. There's hope. Which, I get what he's saying overall, but the hope is, not that you're going to get it all right, not that he's equipped you to do all that. The hope is he's with you. And you're going to blow the job now and then because it's a critical job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many undefinable realities. There's so much. If you could just impose rules on your kids, every family just do X, Y, Z. And people have tried to do that, put books together like that, but they're not very fruitful.
Nope.
But you're dealing with human beings.
Yeah.
You're dealing with according to the way he is. I love the way you said that. It's so sweet. Until next time.
Until next time.
Come back speaking Italian or something.
Yeah, no, not me.
Not you. A husband of yours. He will try to speak Italian. He already is.
Translate.
Yeah. Did you go to the Italian restaurant the other night and practice? Or?
No. There's not enough people around here that speak Italian for him.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.